Lecture topic, reviving respect.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa man yu'azzim sha'a'irallahi fa innaha min taqwal qulub. Sadaqallahul azim. Most respected students of Deen, mothers and sisters. This ayat of the Quran Sharif we have heard on many occasions. We have discussed the details on many occasions with regards to what is the message in this ayat. But there are certain things that no matter how much we discuss it, we will have to keep discussing it. Like food. So no matter the fact that a person has had breakfast yesterday and breakfast the day before and as well as all the days before that, and let alone have breakfast yesterday, even had lunch too, and we had supper as well. But still this morning we needed the breakfast. So certain things are ongoing, the need for it will be continuous. So likewise, certain lessons extremely important, and we would have to keep reminding ourselves of the importance of these messages and these lessons, especially in the times that we are in and how things are moving at the pace it's moving, how quickly things are changing. There are certain things we have to hold on to very, very firmly and keep reminding ourselves of it, keep latching on to what is the original and the correct path that was given to us. Otherwise, before a person realizes it, you'll be gone far away. Be gone far away, and then to take a U-turn and come back will be just as difficult. And then people just keep going deeper and deeper in the wrong direction. So among the things, the aspect of adab, respect. Now respect is a word we use all the time. Everybody claims to have respect. Everybody feels somebody else is disrespectful in some way. We all have these issues about others. But many a times we fail to see how much we have faltered in respect, or we have fallen back in respect. So this is an extremely important aspect to now keep checking, reminding ourselves, seeing what is the standard of respect that is required of us. For example, somebody says he passed. So now he passed an exam, he passed some test, but the pass mark was 90%. So when he says he passed, it means he got more than 90%. If he had got 80% too, because that particular exam, that particular test, the requirement was 90%, if he got 80%, he failed. In terms of that particular exam, he failed. Now, generally, the norm is somebody gets 80%, they got an A pass. But here, 90% was the required pass mark. So now that 90%, the money got less than that, he didn't make the grade. And then supposing there's an examination, somebody set their own exam, Allah knows best how. They say, no, you get 25% too, you passed. So it means 75%, he doesn't know. He got 25%, he got 26%. He's very happy, he's telling everybody he passed. But meanwhile, 75% he doesn't know. Now likewise, we have created our own standards. One is the standard that Deen has set, that these are the minimums, these are the basic requirements. And the other is the standards than what we set. When we set standards for ourselves, then we tend to feel very happy that we are fine, everything is okay. Why? Because according to the standard we set for ourselves, it is fine, doesn't matter. For example, let's take the Quran Sharif. So now somebody in their mind, in their own understanding, they set a certain standard of what is deemed to be respectful as far as the Quran Sharif is concerned. So their own standard for this was or is that as long as a person doesn't put the Quran Sharif on the floor, maybe doesn't throw it down, na'uzu billah, summa na'uzu billah, then other than that is fine. So now, for example, he kept the Quran Sharif somewhere on a table, on a desk, and there's some other things kept alongside it, some books. Those books might have some pictures in it. This is fine. It's on the desk. It's on the table. What's alongside it? What does it matter? The Quran Sharif on the floor. Now for him, and according to his standard, it's fine. There's no problem with it at all. He doesn't find anything disrespectful with that. Later on that, look at some children sometimes open their school bags because they attend an institution where the diniyat and the secular subjects are all integrated. So Quran Sharif becomes also a subject. Now he's got the Quran Sharif in the same bag with other books, sometimes on top, sometimes under, sometimes alongside. It becomes like another textbook. Everything is going in a haversack behind his back and he's thinking nothing about it. He's fine with it. Now, where has this dropped to? But he's thinking nothing about it. Because in his mind, this standard has become fine. Once upon a time, not very long ago, the basic standard of adab for the Quran Sharif was that even if the Quran Sharif is covered, so now the Quran Sharif, number one, should be covered. It should not be bare. There should be what is termed as a cover. So a removable cover that can then be washed and replaced if it needs to be washed. So the Quran Sharif itself, not the cover that is bound with it. Apart from that, there should be a cover on the Quran Sharif. So that's number one. With that cover being on the Quran Sharif, once upon a time, there was always what was termed as a juzdan. So as a, some kind of, like a material bag of some sort, which was exclusive for the Quran Sharif. So the Quran Sharif has got its own cover, but when it's not in use, it will be inside this juzdan. Then that would be placed in a very respectful way on a exclusive shelf for the Quran Sharif. Meaning there won't be any other kitabs, etc. alongside it, whatever, it will be exclusive. But yes, now, if there is something, a kitab, meaning some other Yasin Sharif or some other recitations, du'as, etc., it will be understood, okay, this is part of the same, in the same light. But you won't find anything apart from that there. Never you'll find some kind of other literature, English literature, let alone something that's not right, even what is correct, but you'll find that separately kept. Then if somebody was reciting the Quran Sharif, what was a very fundamental requirement for them was that when you open the Quran Sharif to place it on the desk, there must be something under it. What used to be called as a ghilaf, some material cloth. Now with time, some of these things disappeared. So we will not say that this has become disrespectful to the Quran Sharif, but we'll have to admit that the level of respect is not the same. So while we won't put a fatwa out there that this is gross disrespect, but there is no way to escape this admission that it's not the same level of respect. So when it's not the same level of respect, then we have come one step down. So now if we've come one step down, one is, mashallah, somebody takes the initiative to try and go back one step up. We should encourage it. We should encourage it because there's nothing better than becoming more respectful. There's not anything to do with anything being extreme. No, being more respectful is matloob, it is a requirement, it is something beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Somebody is more respectful to the Quran Sharif, obviously the level of respect will be maintained within the requirements and within the dictates of Shariat. Somebody starts respecting the Quran Sharif in a way that is transgressing the bounds, then that will be wrong. But within the limits of Shariat, to respect the Quran Sharif more, that is required, that will bring more barakah and blessings, that will bring greater noor in that heart, in that house, where the Quran Sharif is respected more. So one is to now take it one step up. If we have come many steps down, to start taking it one step forward and raise the level of adab, raise the level of respect. So if somebody is taking that extra step, we should be very happy about it and feel that we also want to emulate this, we want to follow it, we want to also copy it. But the very crucial part is that we have to see where we have gone down beyond the minimum level of respect, which now has gone into disrespect. Then that is very serious. That has to be changed very, very urgently. Now, for example, how the Quran Sharif is kept, it's sometimes just kept like another book somewhere. And it'll be mixed up with everything else. Even if it is dini literature, the Quran Sharif is, it's got a maqam and position of its own. That position must be very visible. It mustn't be just when you have a very distinguished guest, for example. So you've invited somebody in your home and he's a very distinguished guest. He might be, for example, the Imam of the Haram came. So now the distinguished guest, you make some special provision for him. He'll be seated in a distinguished place. He'll be served in a distinguished manner. But you say, well, you invited him. So now everybody's here. He can just be part of the crowd. So if anybody decides to take that approach, everybody who has a little bit of understanding also, they will be astounded at it. What kind of person are you? You have no idea that you've invited somebody of a very distinguished position and you're just saying he must be part of the crowd. Yes, he out of his humility will be fine with that too, but you have no sense of how to treat somebody of a distinguished position. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the instruction, the direction, anzilun nasa manazilahum. Treat people according to their position and their maqam in among their people. To the extent that even when somebody came as a delegation to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the leader of his community, of his tribe. He was not yet a Muslim, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him that additional consideration because among his people he was the leader. So he had to be given that position and treated accordingly. So he wasn't treated as just any other person. He was given some special treatment. He came as a delegation. He came as a leader of his people. So when the leader of a people comes and he's got some distinguished position among them, so he's treated accordingly. So the Quran Sharif is Allah Ta'ala's kalam. And that kalam of Allah Ta'ala is beyond everything else. So just treat it as one of the other books around is a very, very great disservice to the Quran Sharif and not giving it its due honor and respect. Now these things are sliding. They are sliding and we allow it to slide, Allah forbid, then by the time the next generation comes, what is currently also being deemed as not in order because it's now gone a bit too low, they'll regard that too as very good. And they'll be gone below that. And these things have happened. You go to certain parts of the world, you'll see how the Quran Sharif, person now is reciting Quran Sharif, and then he wants to do something else, keep it on the floor. Worse than that, Allah forbid, we've seen with our eyes the shocking, most shocking situation person now put the Quran Sharif, then he needed some place to now put his shoes. He put it alongside the Quran Sharif. As right next to the Quran Sharif, then that parcel of that shoes tilted, half of it fell on the Quran Sharif. Now he's making his salah, whatever. And then he woke up, he took it and carried on walking like nothing happened. Now, we obviously are very shocked at even hearing something like this. But when the slide happens, then it comes to a point where a person thinks nothing about it. That how low he has fallen, how disrespectful he has been, and he carries on. Nothing. No problem with it. One person, he was now reciting Quran Sharif. So now he's got the Quran Sharif in his hand. And then he decided, or his phone rang or whatever. So he responded to that. He still got the Quran Sharif open. Then now because he had his phone in his hand, he decided to check some messages or whatever. So now that messages are coming up with all kinds of pictures. Then from there he went on to something. Now the Quran Sharif is still in the hand, open. He's busy with the other hand with the phone. And then all kinds of things are coming there. There's something opened up with some music on it too. And it didn't cross his mind one bit that this is gross disrespect to the Quran Sharif. Carried on. The masjid, the respect for the masjid, how much that has diminished. People sit in the masjid and now they're busy with their phones. They're busy with all kinds of things on their phones. You know, crossing the mind, where am I seated? This is not even valid or correct or permissible even outside the masjid. And this I'm doing inside the masjid. That thought even is not crossing the mind. Now this is a very dangerous situation. Likewise, for example, respect for parents. Now how many times there are complaints from parents about how the children deal with them, how they back answer them, how they conduct themselves with parents. If they are unhappy about something, how they will just shout out at the parent. Now, these are things that were unheard of not too long ago. Meaning unheard of, on a general note, unheard of. And if it happened somewhere, it was shocking for everybody. If somebody did it, then it was not just that it was heard of, it was shocked. People were shocked. How could you do that? And now, when somebody is, mashallah, very respectful, everybody takes notice. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, look at this person. How respectful she is. She respects some. Because unfortunately, the levels have dropped so much. So somebody who's on an average level respectful, mashallah, that's standing out now. Because the norm has become lower than that. The norm has become to just talk anyhow, to just say anything, to be unconcerned about that these are my parents, I need to respect them, I need to talk correctly to them. The only thing that might be there is that my parents did this and my parents did that, but what am I supposed to do? I don't know about that. How am I supposed to conduct myself? I don't know. So now this, when this level goes lower, then the someday is coming, we will be parents someday. So then our children, what will their level be? So the point is, we have to learn respect. And not just learn respect, we have to inculcate respect. Ad-deenu kulluhu adabun. Deen is all about adab. Every facet of deen, you'll find a very glaring aspect in it is adab. If it's a masjid, one glaring aspect of the masjid is adab. If it's Quran Sharif, a glaring aspect of Quran Sharif is adab. Comes to parents, glaring aspect the Quran Sharif highlights, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا أَدَبْ. Be full of respect of how you talk to them, how you respond to them, etc. If it comes to the various times, the occasions, Jumu'ah, glaring aspect about Jumu'ah, adab of Jumu'ah, adab of Ramadan, adab of the days of Zulhijjah. Adab is a very glaring aspect in every facet of deen. And when things start sliding, then these are the things that slide first. Respect, honor of aspects of deen. But when that starts sliding, it doesn't stop there. Then it starts taking things along. Many a person, for example, they complain sometimes that their salah became qaza, they missed their salah, meaning not out of something that was beyond control. It was well within control. They could have performed their salah, performed it with jama'ah in the case of men. But it became qaza. Now when you start analyzing what the person is saying, and he starts talking about it, he first became very, very lax with salah with jama'ah. He made it jama'ah, well and good. Didn't make it jama'ah, doesn't matter. He made it in the masjid, very good. Didn't make it in the masjid, doesn't matter. And he was very content that I am making my salah. But now he neglected a very important aspect of salah with jama'ah. But now when he neglected that, then the neglect came in the sunnats. That now, sometime made the sunnats, sometime didn't make it. Yeah, I did my farz, I did the wajib. But now this is where it reached finally now. Now it's becoming qaza, and then he's not even feeling really remorseful over it. He, well, missed it now. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. What a major disaster. But now where it started off from, that what was regarded as comparatively not so serious, as in our mind it became a small thing. But where it led to, the salah becoming qaza. And the salah becoming qaza is such a serious problem, such a serious matter. Even if a person makes up the qaza, it's like losing, the Hadith Sharif states, like losing one's family, everyone in one's family, and all one's possessions, everything lost at one go. Allah save us, Allah save us. Imagine somebody now left from madrasa, left from school, left from wherever. They went home, they came to know, nobody's living anymore. Something happened, Allah save us, everybody's gone. These things have happened in dunya, it's happening now. People in Gaza, they came back home, 10 people all wiped out, one time gone. Now, missing one salah, making one salah qaza, is worse than that. But there's nothing on the mind. Why? Because that slide, when it slides down, down, that consciousness dies. So likewise, the aspect of adab. When adab starts decreasing, then adab goes, then first it is adab that went, then gross disrespects come in. One is losing respect. Not fully respecting doesn't necessarily mean that the person was also disrespectful. One simple example is that a person didn't put that ghilaf under the Quran Sharif, so that wasn't the high level of respect. But at the same time, we just explained, we won't put a fatwa of disrespect, that is a disrespect. But now when that went one step low, and the consciousness of that even went away, that this was not the higher level of respect, then gradually that slides and slides more and slides even more, then it starts becoming disrespectful. Now the person is keeping it anyhow, keeping in the middle of anything. So now the slide started off from not having higher respect, it came to disrespect eventually. So therefore we have to become very, very conscious of these aspects. These are not minor things. These are very serious matters in deen. And the whole of deen rests on the aspect of adab. To understand this through one explanation, for example, take the azan. Azan is a distinguishing sign of deen. Now the person didn't observe the etiquette at that time. When the azan is going, he should listen attentively, reply to the muazzin. The person didn't do that. So he lost out. That was a major benefit he would have got out of doing that. And also it's a matter of great adab. But Allah forbid, the person disrespected the azan deliberately. Disrespected the azan deliberately, made some mocking sound about the azan, na'uzu billah, that will become kufr. When he is mocking something about deen, deliberately mocking something about deen, that will become kufr. He'll lose his iman. To make miswak is sunnah, very important sunnah, and great rewards. The salah performed with that wudu in which miswak was made. And this applies to everyone, males, females. So the salah performed after that wudu in which miswak was made is 70 times superior, greater than the salah which was performed after such a wudu in which the miswak wasn't used. Now let us ask ourselves, how much we're losing if we are not making the miswak? What loss? Imagine now, somebody else, our parents were giving 20 rands to our siblings, we didn't get. We feel very upset about it, 20 rands. I got left out. They didn't give me. Or somebody came and were dishing out something in the madrasa, some sweet, some chocolate, 10 rand chocolate, 15 rand chocolate, gave everybody, we didn't get it. Feel very hurt about it, very sad. How come they left me out? On 10 rand chocolate, we're feeling that sense of loss. And here's 70 times the reward we lost out. So now that miswak is sunnah, very great reward. But somebody mocks the miswak. Now if he didn't make miswak, he lost out on the reward. But somebody mocked the miswak, he loses iman. He understands this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he still now mocked the miswak, he loses iman. Now this is the danger, that when it slides from respect, it can gradually, step by step, fall into disrespect, and then fall into Allah forbid, some kind of mockery, where it will finish off. Once iman will be lost. So we have to safeguard these things, very, very jealously safeguard adab. Adab in all the facets of deen, adab for the Quran Sharif, adab for everything related to deen. So the madrasa, for example, is also related to deen, is a place of teaching deen, knowledge of deen. So we'll respect the madrasa, we'll respect everything about the madrasa. Those who teach us deen, we'll respect them because they are teaching us deen. And likewise, every kitab of deen, it's deen, we have to respect it. Obviously, the Quran Sharif has a very special place, special maqam, but every book of deen will be respected accordingly. The pious predecessors, they would respect the pen, because that pen is a means of writing down knowledge of deen. In the Quran Sharif, Allah mentions, takes a qasam on the pen, noon, wal qalami wa ma yasturun. So they used to respect the pen. They used to respect ink. Respect ink in those days, they would dip that reed pen into the ink pot and then write. Once upon a time, they were fountain pens. Now these things will sometimes leak a little bit. Some drop of ink will fall onto the finger, on the hand as it's writing, etc. So that ink used to be respected to the point where one pious person, he went to the toilet and he just hardly entered and he rushed out. So somebody just noticed that he had barely just entered, maybe 2 seconds, and he rushed out. So what happened? So he just, as he entered the toilet, he noticed one drop of ink on his finger. So he rushed out to first wash it off and then go back because it's exposed to being in the toilet now. And this is disrespectful because this ink is a means of writing down the knowledge of deen. Now subhanallah, these people knew what adab is all about. We may say, okay, this is on a very high level. But when we take that approach about everything, it's a very high level meaning, so it's not required of me to do it at that level. But then everything is too high for us. And everything is okay for us then. No matter how low we're falling, it's okay for us. We should aspire to get higher. We should make some effort to get higher. So the least would be, for example, a pen or something. We won't have it exposed in a top pocket, for example, in a way that is exposed. If a person is going to the toilet, it'll be in a pocket that is concealed. Now that's the least we can do. If one is at home, then he'll even leave it out. He'll remove it from the pocket, leave it outside the toilet, don't even take it. But if it's now in a situation where he can't leave it out somewhere, he'll at least not have it exposed. Now that will make him conscious about that this too is an aspect that requires adab. And the concept of adab will remain fresh in the mind and will inshallah grow. But when we adopt the approach of, oh, this is now not necessary, it's not necessary, then what is necessary also will get compromised. And then we will not even realize where we've fallen. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we become more conscious of adab and we become more conscious of adopting the right etiquette in every matter and trying to get one step above. We don't try to remain casual and say everything is fine. Okay, this is fine. What's better? I'm going to try for what's better. When we get there, what's better? Okay, there's something even better than this too. I'm going to try for that. When it comes to other things, we always want something better. Our clothing we want better. Our food we want better. Everything else we want better. Better other, better level of deen. That is what we must be aspiring for better. In this way, we will get closer to Allah Ta'ala. We will, there'll be noor in our hearts. That noor will come through this adab. This will enlighten our dunya and our akhirat. Allah Ta'ala accept one and all. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.